Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Paul and Jordana and DJ on a Tuesday. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Joining us now is Minnesota GOP Chair Jennifer Carnahan. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on with the whirlwind that you find yourself in the middle of right now. So let me just back up and set the table. Tony Lazaro, who stands accused of federal sex trafficking charges, has donated, I'm seeing numbers as high as $240,000 to Republican campaigns and political committees. My question, question number one, what was your relationship with Mr. Lazaro beyond the podcast you taped together? And Jennifer, in the time that you've known Mr. Lazaro, was there ever a whiff of impropriety, anything that didn't pass the smell test? And I have to ask, too, when did you first become aware of the accusations against Mr. Lazaro?
Yeah, so Mr. Lazaro was a major donor to the Republican Party of Minnesota, as you mentioned, as well as a lot of other Republican candidates and causes. Important part of my job is to certainly raise money for the organization so we can be fully funded to elect Republicans and defeat Democrats. I met Mr. Lazaro in 2016. I was running for state senate in downtown in North Minneapolis, and I door knocked every high rise in the city. And, his was one of the doors I knocked on. He didn't answer, but as a lot of people did after, they reached out to me like through social media or through my campaign email and said, "Hey, I didn't know there were Republicans down here. It's great to see you." And he was one of the people that reached out. And of course, when you're a candidate, you just want to build any support you can. So when I decided to run for chair, I think it was 6 months after that, he helped on my campaign a little bit and then became a major donor to our party shortly thereafter, and a lot of other Republicans as he became more engaged in the party. But, so I did have a political friendship with him. But the concern that I have about everything I'm seeing out there in the news media is if you look at our party, we have thousands of donors. I've been chair for over 4 years. I've met so many people around the state that I call political friends. Some have become, better friends than that. But for us to know the personal background of every contributor, every person we meet, even those that we have regular contact with, I think to imply this guilt by association is just wrong, because I didn't have any direct knowledge, nor was I involved in any way with the alleged criminal activities and all these charges that came out on Mr. Lazaro last Thursday. I found out when you guys found out, and just as everybody else, I was very shocked. I was quite honestly disgusted. I think it's abhorrent, and I think a conviction of these charges warrants punishment to the fullest extent of the law. And to be quite honest with you, Paul, I think Mr. Lazaro is going to be spending the rest of his life in prison.
Have you been questioned by authorities, Jennifer, about these allegations against Mr. Lazaro?
I have not.
Do you expect to be?
I wouldn't think I would. I don't know why I would, so I don't expect to be questioned.
But hey, Jennifer, it's Jordana. We really appreciate you coming on with us today. So thank you very much. I have a couple of questions. You talk about how you can't vet all of your donors and you have thousands of donors, and I'm sure you're grateful for all of them. This is a donor that you not only had a podcast with, he was at your wedding. Someone wrote me and said he was at your bachelorette party. This is a person who may have covered payroll for the party when payroll was not being made. So I think it's hard for a lot in the community, as well as me, to believe that you didn't know him well enough. And according to court records, Mr. Lazaro's place was raided in December of 2020. So how could the party not know that trouble was brewing, given his presence in the party well into 2021?
Well, I guess I would say I don't know how we would know it was raided unless that was public information. But, yeah, he was invited to our wedding, but there were a lot of other Republicans invited to my wedding, right? Senator Karen Housley was invited to my wedding, right? There were some of our activists, other donors were invited to my wedding, absolutely. But to insinuate or assume that I would know anything about this or have any idea is just categorically false. And honestly, I think it's a bridge too far, and I think it's wrong. There were so many Republicans in our party who knew and were friends with Mr. Lazaro, many Republican elected officials who knew or accepted contributions from him, other activists, other, you know, grassroots leaders. But how can you hold all of us accountable for his actions, which we didn't know about?
You mentioned Karen Housley. Karen Housley, Scott Jensen, Marion O'Neill. There are people, excuse me, representatives in the Senate, in the House, at the College Republicans who have lost trust in your leadership. You have said, at least until this moment, and I don't know if you're going to make an announcement on our show, that you don't plan to resign as party chair. How can you work with these people and expect to be effective in the future if they're all calling for your resignation?
So, Jordana, all the people calling for my resignation are people that didn't support me when I ran for re-election 4 months ago and won with 67%, over 67% of the vote on the first ballot. And that was a very, very negative, unpleasant re-election campaign to go through. But all of the people coming out are the same people, and all they're doing is relitigating the chair's race all over again, bringing up all the same items that they brought up 4 months ago. And, you know, kind of my perspective on that is, if you really think all these things are concerns and you are leaders in this party and members, then where was your accountability on bringing this forward? Because I'm not going to stand for my name, my reputation, professional and personal, being defamed in this way. It just simply is wrong.
But Jennifer, there are people in the party and outside that said allegations of wrongdoing have been going on and on and on for months and that you must have known about it.
That's just not true.
Jennifer,
it's untrue.
You're calling for the party's internal executive board on Thursday to take a vote of confidence on your leadership. Do you expect to prevail at the end of the day, at the end of this process?
Yeah, so I'm expecting for that board to actually take a vote on whether or not I should resign. And we'll see how it goes, but I don't think it's going to pass. But I put out an email yesterday actually stating directly to all of our state central committee delegates and alternates that I will call for us to have a state central committee meeting myself for right after Labor Day. And the 345 or so people that elected me, if they feel that I am not the right one, I will honor and respect their decision. And I will happily, you know, support the next chair if that's the way it goes as they transition in. And I will be here still to be the biggest cheerleader to help us elect Republicans up and down the ballot.
Jen, somebody on Twitter reached out to me and asked me to ask you how young conservative women can feel safe working for the party when you have ignored sexual harassment allegations for months, according to your own statement. Sorry.
I have not ignored sexual harassment allegations for months, so that's also categorically false. Our party has absolutely followed the law, state and federal, and the HR processes and our human resource manual and our personnel policies with all of our committees exactly the way we're supposed to. You know, just because someone that maybe personally doesn't like me or a disgruntled person from my past for whatever reason wants to come out and say something doesn't make it true. And I don't feel comfortable living in a world where just because someone said something that makes it true. I could go out and say something tomorrow, Jordana, about any person out there and say, well, I heard this about you. I heard that about you. I'm going to go put it on Twitter and that makes it true. I think we go down a very dangerous path if that's the world that we're starting to live in. You know, we need to not do this guilt by association. And specifically with these donors, there's a lot of political donors, big donors out there that have done really bad things. Look at Epstein. He gave money to so many Democrats. Bill Clinton himself went on 4 private trips with him. You can't go and assume everyone is guilty and knew everything just because they had relationships with folks. And the example that someone told me the other day is, you know, and I never knew him, but Tom Petters, that he had a lot of relationships with a lot of, you know, powerful political leaders in our state on both sides of the aisle. And he was doing something really bad, which obviously he was convicted for. But how could all of those people be expected to know? Because his reputation with them was he was just this great guy that people like to be around.
And Jennifer, what would you say to people who say, well, you could have known, you should have known? there's nuance in this story, but what would you like Minnesota voters to know right now, whether you're GOP or DFL? What aren't people getting right now?
Well, it's really basically, how am I supposed to prove something that's simply not true if people are going to formulate their own conclusions and opinions, right? I mean, it's like I said before, I could go out there and say, oh, you must have known this, but how are you supposed to prove that you didn't? I mean, I didn't. And I don't expect to be interviewed or contacted by the authorities. I'm not any part of this. And it actually, it hurts my heart that people are saying that about me, because I've gotten to know a lot of people really well, and the people that have been friends with me for years or even a shorter time, they're all saying to me, we know your heart, we know who you are, and to try to push this on me is just simply wrong. I mean, go push it on every other Republican elected official as well, then, that ever went to events with Tony or that he sponsored events for, right? So it's an unfortunate situation. You know, I believe he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and he probably should, right? I think that's likely what's going to happen. But we need to keep our party focused on the right thing and not tear down innocent and good people that have worked their hearts out for their party and have lived really positive lives, you know, forever.
Thank you for that explanation, Jennifer, but you can see why that would be confusing because of your close relationship with him. And I wanted to ask you about this. There's very damaging audio on Twitter, you talking about your husband, and we wish him well. We know that he's not well these days, so we wish a fast and speedy recovery. His spirit should be healed. About the audio says that you don't care, that your husband is going to be dead in 2 years, so be it. Can you please respond to this audio? It's very damaging.
Oh, I absolutely
if
can.
You want us to play it for you, we can, but I didn't want to jump you with that.
I don't need you to play it, but I can respond to it, but thank you, Jordana. You know, it was, I think, a week or 10 days after my husband had a cancer procedure to remove his kidney. We've been battling this together since, you know, just a couple months after we were married. You know, it's been a very stressful, difficult, and emotionally hard process for me to go through every single day, as certainly it is with him. I was at an event, had a long day of meetings, you know, went out socializing and drinking wine and whatnot with friends. And I, you know, said something in grief that I shouldn't have said, and it's absolutely regrettable. I'm horrified by it. I've obviously apologized to my husband. I love him very much, and I'm going to continue to be by his side and be his biggest supporter and cheerleader, because what I found is you need to stand by and support people together that are fighting to beat stage 4 cancer, and I am going to continue to do that for him. So I am horrified by it. That's why I said I don't need to listen to it again. I feel very bad. And you know, people say things that they shouldn't, and it's regrettable. I can't take it back, but I can acknowledge that it will never happen again.
Jennifer, last question. You've gotten some heat for non-disclosure agreements with staffers. Is that customary to get staffers to sign these?
Yeah, so that's one that just kind of baffles me, why that is such a big deal out there. Non-disclosure agreements are a normal part of standardizing operating procedures with a majority of employers, including the MNGOP. Our party has required staff to sign non-disclosure agreements dating back to 1998. Which is much longer than I've been chair, perhaps even further back than that. They're important because we have so much proprietary, confidential, and organizational information, and we need to make sure that we don't let this information fall into the wrong hands, especially as we're going through election cycles. But I do want to be clear about something. Non-disclosure agreements do not prevent, like, whistleblowers or people coming forward to share complaints or expose illegality or impropriety within the organization to better the organization and hold those responsible accountable. So I think there's just a lot of misinformation out there on that.
Jennifer, do you plan to resign?
We are taking things day by day, but I'm out doing my job every day. And like I said, I do believe that the responsibility falls on the central committee that elected me. I think it falls on them if they want to go in a different path. But to ask me to resign because I knew somebody or was friends with somebody, I think is wrong, and I will not resign over that. To ask me to resign over all these false accusations and this defamation of character, this libel, this slander that's going on about me, absolutely not. If the base has lost faith in me as chair, then I will accept that. and I will be respectful about the transition and certainly continue to stand by this party. But we've got a meeting Thursday, and I've already put the marker out there that I will call a central committee meeting myself, and I'm happy to put that before our board on Thursday and get on with it so that our party can move forward and stop being paralyzed by all this negativity and put our focus back on the real goal, which is getting rid of Governor Walz and electing Republicans up and down the ballot in 2022.
Minnesota GOP Chair Jennifer Carnahan. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today on CCO. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you guys for having me. Take care.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.